Welcome to Bark After Dark. Normally, you know, we come in here loosey goosey, you know, feeling all great and
a little early too.
You know, a little early and for a reason. You know, Sonny Siler, I believe Mark Weiser put it, I read a tweet a second ago, the patriarch of the Georgia, the UGA UGA bloodline, has passed away at the age of 90 years old. And he put 10 UGGAs on the field, so we started 10 minutes early. I know UGGA 11, Boom, is set to make his debut this coming Saturday. But we started 10 minutes early to pay homage to the 10 UGGAs that he put on the field for Georgia. And the last one was the best one, the winningest of all time. And I never met the man, but also never heard a bad word about him. And I know how much he meant to the University of Georgia.
Yeah, you know, I kind of said something similar about, you know, it's really hard to think about Georgia's brand on the national stage without Sonny Siler, man. I mean, it really is like face of the program to some degree. Coaches come and gone. Sonny Siler's dogs have always been there, man. So
right.
He's been a huge part of the whole thing. Like you said, I never met him. I saw Sonny Siler a lot. I was down on the sidelines. He had the sickest parking spot in the stadium. Down below, he parked where the GSP park that got to walk the coaches out on the field. You know, honestly, and this is going to sound crazy. I was thinking about this before the show got started. He's one of those guys that, like, I had no reason to feel intimidated to approach, but I did, man. Like, there was an air around Sonny Siler, man. You know, like, you know, I've asked Kirby Smart questions. I've talked to, you know, Todd Gurley. I've shouted out, you know, even Chuck Dowdle, my sports casting hero when I was a kid. Sonny Siler, though, one of those guys, man, that just had an air about him. And, you know, sad loss. You know, I was thinking about it, too, in terms of importance and where the guy, you know, kind of ranks. A lot of guys have come through the Georgia program, been very successful, big names, first-round draft picks. We got a first-round draft pick on with us tonight, actually.
We do.
Not too many guys associated with the Georgia program have ever been portrayed in a film. Yeah. And Sonny Siler, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, was portrayed in the film. So, and I think he actually was in the film, too, at some point, wasn't he?
I don't know. Never really. I think I saw the film when I was younger, but I don't really recall it too well. You know, obviously, I feel horrible for his family because, you know, it doesn't matter how old a loved one is. When you lose them, you lose them, and it's a void that's there. But 90 years, man, I hope I get there. I hope I do. And you know, the only Sonny Siler story I have is 2011. I got on the Georgia sideline for the first time in my sports writing career, my career period. Well, actually, I did get to go down. I believe it was in 2001 or 2000. I'm sorry, I got to go down to 2000 for the Tennessee game as a guest of a recruit. But 2011, I got to go down, you know, and kind of be down on the sideline all game long and shoot some photos and stuff. And I'm like, man, I can't not go down there and pet UGGA, right? Like, I'm looking over there and I'm seeing people pet him. So I kind of neander over there and I go over and I kind of stand there and he kind of moves towards me a little bit, never said a word to each other. But he kind of moved towards me a little bit and I kind of gave him that look like, is it okay? And he just kind of bobbed his head, just one quick nod, you know, like a little salute there. And I give that dog some serious pets, man. I'd rubbed his ears and jostled him all up, got a little slobber going, licked my hand. It was a cool little moment there. But, I mean, yeah, just an icon. And you know, he – his – I mean, He that face right there over the years, and it aged, just kind of became synonymous with Uga. When you saw it on TV, you saw Sonny right there. When you saw Bevo try to give Uga the business, Sonny was right there. I was too, but Sonny was too as well. And, I don't know, man. You know, you mentioned the parking spot. Hell of a parking spot, man. Great one. Absolutely great parking spot from a man there.
It's interesting and somewhat sad, to be honest with you, to think about, like, Georgia comes back, wins that national championship, first of Kirby's national championships, and you lose Vince Dooley, right? And then this year it comes around, and before the game week, getting ready to come up here, and you lose Sonny Siler. And, that's tough, man. That's some of the old guard going down right there. That's those are some of the titans of this program. And, I obviously football in this moment means very little. When you lose a loved one, people have lost a grandfather, a father, a friend. You like to think that probably to some degree for both of those guys, it was pretty cool to see how things had changed and where things were headed and how it had all played out with their devotion and their contributions to this program. I mean, I would be curious to know how many games Sonny Siler attended. I was thinking about that earlier, dude. I mean, his number has to rival maybe anybody's, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be somewhere, how many years, 50 years, 40 years? It's got to be somewhere in that 450 to 500 range. It's up there. And, it's cool that he got to see the two national championships. He didn't get to take Uga 10 out to Los Angeles for this last one. He saw a lot of SEC championships. He saw some national championships, at least three of them. A little long time in there between. Just how much his family's kind of meant to the University of Georgia. And, when you look back, I'm thinking about Charlie Trippi as well. Charlie Trippi left us not too long ago.
Yeah.
Vince Dooley. You got Sonny Siler, and then the tragedies that happened this January. And, this program's lost a lot over the last two or three years, man. It's been kind of a whirlwind, but a lot of people that mean a lot to the university. And we definitely wanted to give we wanted to come on early tonight when we first found this out, and kind of make sure that we got our piece out there that we've seen the man many, many, many times, and this it wasn't necessarily a guy that had any sort of he gave the program priceless marketing, I would say, over 40 years.
It's a face. I mean, he gave a face to the program. I mean, Uga is synonymous. I mean, that classic Sports Illustrated cover, with Uga being named the greatest mascot in college football. And, I mean, he gave, like I said, it's hard to imagine the brand without Sonny Siler and his contributions to it, man. And
let me tell you something. Savannah, Georgia is not close to Athens, Georgia. Okay.
No.
That's a tough trip. Okay. I've basically made it many times, going to and from the Georgia Florida game in some sort of capacity. We've done it several times. So it is a tough trip to make. And, he made it with regularity, with that little great American house hippo of his in tow every single time. That's what they call him on TikTok. And the goodest of boys.
I think it's interesting that neither you or I met Sonny Siler. I don't think there are a lot of people in this program like that you would say that you never had a chance to meet or talk to.
I thought a couple of times about going up and shaking his hand. I'm like, he got a reason to meet me.
Yeah, exactly, right? But like, you probably introduced yourself to Vince Dooley at some point, right?
Yeah, I talked to Coach as many times as I possibly could. It wasn't that he wasn't an approachable dude. There was a star power there with Sonny Siler. We've got our guest on to join us, but before we do that, real quick, what you drinking tonight?
Yeah, so actually, this is kind of fitting. I didn't even really mean to do this, but You know me. You know I love a good craft brew. So one of my buddies, I call him Rhode Island George. Good friend of mine. This is an old guy from New England. The most New England accent you've ever heard in your life. Loves to call me Bucko. That's always his sign off. Anyway, he brewed this double IPA and he brought me one to try. So I'm drinking Rhode Island George's beer tonight. But we got Macon George coming on with us here soon. So excited.
Yeah, your blood pressure about to take a hit. I probably drunk a little more than I should have this weekend. So I'm just, you know, I'm doing what I normally do when I do that. I'm doing a Monday.
Yeah, we got to talk about my weekend later.
Oof. Oh, let's bring George on. George Foster, right. The man.
Well, maybe.
Well, what has happened here? All right. I don't know. We're excited about George.
Let's see. Looks like George may have froze up. We may have to get George to rejoin the stream. But in the meantime, so you're drinking just a little topo then.
Yep, just a little topo. Let's go ahead and talk about our folks over at Game Time. Bruce, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I have. Hey, Jake, can you help me get tickets to the game? yeah. No, more often than not, no. Sometimes once or twice, yes, I have. But more often than not, no. But I know who can help you get tickets to the game. It's Game Time, GameTime.co. Specialize in that last minute, you know, frantic, trying to figure it out. Ticket situation. They do a phenomenal job there. You've taken advantage of it. I've taken advantage of it. We've all taken advantage of it. Yeah. Bruce got into Target Field. Is it still Target Field? They changed those things with regularity now.
It is Target Field. I got some great seats, man, just down the first base line over by the foul pole, on game time this weekend. And, got, like I said, two killer seats. I don't even know what tickets really cost, to be honest with you. I don't go to a lot of baseball games, but it seemed like a great deal to me. They were like, I mean, I got two tickets for less than $60. You can't really beat that. My God.
Now you got pretty good seats, too. You got pretty good seats. That's what I'm
saying. So Game Time came through clutch, and they delivered them really quickly. So I was really appreciative and really happy to work with them. They sponsored the show. So
get you a good seat to Georgia's season opener against UT Martin. It will probably be one of the cheaper tickets this season. But you go over to GameTime.co, or you can download the app and use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS. And if you do that, you will get $20 off your first order. Terms apply. But go over to GameTime.co. I mean, the interface is incredible. The convenience is awesome. They do a phenomenal job. We're still trying to get George on here. Technical difficulties, gremlins over the internet.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you about it. No, I was going to say, if you're looking at that Game Time picture, spend the extra $40, get out of the 600 section and get into the corner of the end zone, man. Do not go to that 600 section. I get nervous thinking about it, dude.
Yeah, you were in an enclosed press box there at Lucas Oil Stadium, and you were trembling. So,
Speaking of trembling,
sounds like we got some weather trying to roll up into the Athens area right now.
You're about to lose power, is what you mean.
Oh, man. What a disaster this show would be with everything we've got going on. Hey, give me a quick synopsis of your weekend. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So, I went up to Minnesota for the first time this weekend. Girlfriend's got a friend getting married, asked me if I wanted to go. I said, sure, why not? I've never been to Minnesota before, and just had a blast, man. What a cool ass state. Stayed in Minneapolis, had a great time, super clean city. Everyone's so friendly. And one of my great buddies is from Minnesota, and he told me that that's a term called – it's called Minnesota nice. He said they're real nice to your face, and then they talk shit when you turn around. But he said it's a real thing everybody knows about. Friday we went and experienced one of the wilder things that I think I've ever taken part in terms of like a public event. And it was the Minnesota State Fair. And it was like, there were like 100,000 people there that day. It was like a Georgia game or a Tennessee game. I guess more aptly, 100,000, but it was so damn hot, man. It was unbelievable. But the food was phenomenal. The beer was incredible. Got to hear some polka music, which was great. They had like contests for apples. They had like blue ribbon apples. I didn't even know you could judge an apple. I don't know how you become a judge for an apple, but I thought that that was wild. And yeah, then we went and caught the Twins game, which was also cool. It was sick. It was like 12-2, I think, was the final. There was almost a fight. They got to almost went to fisticuffs. So hitting bombs, and we got to see a position player come in and pitch. That's always fun. Had some cheese curds. And then Saturday we went to this casino that was kind of in the middle of nowhere, man. And it was, you know, not like a Caesars or a Harrah's casino. It was a just its own brand of casino, which I haven't done one of those in a while. But it was cool. It was a neat experience. And, you know, reminded me of like, you know, a lot of casinos you've probably been to on the strip. Not the Bellagios of the world, if you will. Attended the wedding, beautiful ceremony, had it on a golf course. Weather was perfect. Some great food, great dancing. And those cats in Minnesota, they know how to put them down, man. That's what I will say about my Saturday night. They put a hurting on you, boy. But all was well. I returned in one piece and would go back, though. Would definitely go back. Very pretty country. I was shocked by that, to be honest with you. I didn't know what to expect from a landscape-wise thing. A lot of farmland, though, and just really beautiful. So Minnesota, high marks for me.
We know our guest, George Foster, has been to Minnesota. We know he's probably played some ball in Minnesota because he was in the NFC North for a little bit with the Detroit Lions.
Can George hear us?
George, you got us, man?
I'm going to say no.
George is there.
All right, we'll let him continue to play with this. Palmer, continue texting George and see what we can get figured out for him.
Yeah. So my weekend, I did the smart thing, tried to play a little golf on Saturday. Somebody put on our board earlier in the week that it was disrespectfully hot, and it was hotter on Saturday than it was on that day, because Saturday was about the most ridiculous heat I've ever experienced. I played crappy golf. I dipped into some ranch waters and some other beverages, I even drank some cold beer, which I don't normally do just cause I was trying to keep it cold. I drank about 9 bottles of water. It wasn't a steady, you know, it wasn't us like a steady march to the woods to, you know, relieve myself either. It was just all coming out of the pores, dude. It was just flowing straight out of me. My hat was just completely soaking wet. It was crazy. It was a fun weekend for sure. You know, got a chance to go catch some brunch on Saturday with the family. There's a restaurant in Athens that I've got to check out. You should look up the menu when you get a chance. It's called Paloma Park. In the comments, if anybody's been to Paloma Park in Athens, let me know.
That's just Max Canada, dude.
Right, yeah. I knew it was over there, right there, like either that or right there in the area.
No, it is. That's where Max Canada was.
Yeah, and so I really want to try it out. I'm kind of obsessed with the menu. It looks pretty ridiculous.
It's solid. I've been before.
Okay.
They've got a good drink menu too. All
right. Yeah. Oh yeah. I saw the drink menu. It's a tequila bar, and you know.
It's more like appetizer type meals than it is like a big girthy meal, but good food.
Girthy.
Nothing
like a girthy meal.
Yeah.
They've got live music pretty frequently.
Like girth that. May be the most healthy word we've ever had on this show. And Bill Shanks was on here one time. So.
Oh, it's a pie. Oh, bar. Man.
that you can get pie at a bar.
All right. Let's see. Let's check in with George. It looks like he can hear us now.
I can hear you. Can you hear me, though?
I got you, dude.
Yes.
Okay. We got something going. StreamYard always messes with me. And I don't know why. We do 100 Sanford on Zoom. It's pretty easy. And every time I get on StreamYard, it messes with me, but I'm here. The guy's here.
Well, we're sorry about that. It's pretty tough. Listen, George, I'm about to pay you a big time compliment, man. You played ball at Georgia during my formidable fan years growing up as a you know, like a late teenager. You were a couple, 2 or 3 years ahead of me, but I, you know, loved Georgia football then. You were drafted by my favorite NFL football team, and I'm still a bigger fan of you on Twitter than I am than I was as a player, and I was a big fan of you as a player. You dominate Twitter every single day.
That's not a slight to me. I don't take offense to it because, like, that happens. I'm looking at the screen. I bet George has had his share of girthy meals. Pause. Had some good meals. I don't know about girthy. But yeah, man, I'm not offended by that, man. Man, I go all over when I travel all over. Man, I run into people all the time, and they're like, they don't mention football at all.
Yeah,
it's like, man, I enjoy following you on Twitter.
Well,
on
dude, Twitter. I know just, you.
I've been all over this country, and it's always about Twitter when I see people.
I know you're a baller. I know you're a baller. You played left tackle, and you were a first-round draft pick, and you were a damn good college football player. So I know that you had the football thing down, but you do Twitter better than anybody almost out there. I don't try.
I just keep it fun, man, and keep it real. Authentic is what I would like to use. Like my Twitter bio says, consistently George. Me.
Yeah,
consistent. And leave me. That's what I am. Like it or leave it.
Well, George, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight, man. We're thrilled to have you. You know, we kind of start all of these off by just kind of getting a little backstory, man. I think like a lot of people, you know George Foster, the Georgia player. They know George Foster, the NFL guy. They know George Foster, the podcast host, the great Twitter follow. But the George Foster story, I know this because you were so gracious to do the book with us, Blair. Where does the George Foster story start? I believe it's somewhere in the greater Macon metro area.
Yeah, just Macon, Georgia, man. I was born in Macon, Georgia. In the good old Macon Coliseum Hospital. And that's where, as they would say, the legend was born. I have to catch up and be a legend one day, but the legend was born in Macon, Georgia. I grew up pretty regular, man. You know, very family oriented. A lot of cousins, big family. You know, and just grew up having fun and staying out of trouble for the most part.
What you know, obviously, the time came. You end up in Athens, but you know, when did the light kind of click on for you that this football thing was going to kind of be a thing for you? Like how old were you when somebody got in your ear, when you decided or whatever?
Well, I always enjoyed football. I always loved watching it. I used to get those NFL films, VHS tapes, from like Goodwill and like yard sales and stuff from my mom. And I watched those, and it just be, you got the old music, the Raiders and all that and stuff like that, and watching just Larry Zonka and guys like that. And, you know, I thought I was going to be a fullback back in the day because just those old, like, they made it look so good and so fun to run the ball and run over people and truck and break tackles and all that stuff. And but I never got to play football as a youngster. I didn't play football. When I say youngster, I mean like Pop Warner and stuff like that. I didn't play Little League football. I played it in the hood, you know, tackle football and, you know, and with the Sandlot, you know, in the neighborhood. But I didn't get to really play play is doing a lot of heavy lifting until seventh grade. And I might have played seven plays. I wasn't, you know, I was just a big kid that wanted to play football. I wasn't like, you know, my eventual roommate, Tony Gilbert, that was like, he was born to play football. He was the guy from when we were yay high, you know. And so I didn't really play the middle school, eighth grade. I got in, and well, I guess you could say I got in trouble. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to in class. My mom was like, nope. And so I didn't play it in. So I didn't really get to play for real until like ninth grade. And for me, it was a gradual progression. Like, I can't say it ever clicked per se, or there was ever an aha moment. It was just that I loved the game so much and I wanted to play. And I was blessed enough to play until I was, you know, my 30.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's how it went for me.
Well, right now I'm just counting our blessings that you were talking about the games we used to play in the neighborhood growing up, and you didn't call them by name, the games that we used to play, because they didn't kind of, you know, some of the names we used to call them games would get us in trouble these days. But,
yeah, you can't, you know, we can't say on the internet. Yeah, but we didn't call them those. I got an idea what you're talking about. You know, we used to call it rawhide. We used to call it rawhide. You know, when you throw it up, or throw them up, bust them. You know, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just which is absurd to think about now. These kids. I feel like I'm underselling the kids nowadays, but I feel like they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't throw the football up and everybody run after you and tackle you just because you got the football. I don't feel like these kids would do that now.
We didn't break a jaw or like lose some permanent teeth or something like that. Like, because I remember playing it all the way into the teens, and it was something else. So I'm gonna deviate from football a little bit because you. Me and Jake Roos, we all share a big time common interest based on your Twitter, and that is the HBO television program Righteous Gemstones. We are huge fans. We know you're big fans. I wanted to show you this because we got a guy who listens to the show who works on those sets, and he sent us this.
Sent this to the Redeemer. Yeah. Oh, man.
I can't wear it because it's a large. Right, you know, I mean,
well,
you
know, I definitely can't wear. I probably can't wear a large.
You probably haven't been able to wear a large since. You probably haven't been able to wear a large since second grade. Well, I ain't been able to wear one since probably, you know, seventh grade. So I'm not too far behind you in terms of that. But dude, just listen. How awesome is that show? How much fun do you have watching it? And who's your favorite character?
Oh man, my favorite character. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because I forget her name. Judy is something else. Now she's funny, and I always forget McBride's character's name. What's his name?
Yes.
Jesse Gemstone. They're really good at what they do. You know what I mean? Everybody's awesome. I always loved. I think John Goodman is a very underrated actor. Since back in the Roseanne days, like he's very underrated. Saw him in Treme, and a lot of other things. He's a really good actor. But the guys the people that cut up the most, I like old Judy Gemstone and old Jesse. Like they get it. And you know, they did a real good job with the kids too that played them. Like,
yes.
I don't know. Like those actors, that actor and the actress that played Judy and young Jesse, like they had them down packed. They were hilarious.
I'm a little surprised though that I think the standard answer is always Baby Billy. Like almost everybody says Baby Billy, and so now I'm a huge Judy fan too, man. She is ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, but when you ask a lot of people, see, I don't think a lot of people watch it in the way that we watch it. That's why I think that you're a little more in tune. You know, Jesse's obviously kind of the face of the program, but Baby Billy's kind of he steals a lot of things.
Baby Billy is hilarious. Baby Billy. I keep forgetting his name too. Too many hits to the head. His real name. He's Walter Goggins.
Yeah,
he is hilarious. And so, Baby Billy kind of reminds me of, you know, he has that twang. So it kind of reminds me of the character on, kind of like Vice Principals. And so it's kind of like,
yeah,
there's a lot of carryover. It seems like. But like I said before, all the characters are amazing. You know what I mean? So, but I like Goggins and what he does. He was just in something I just watched. He was in a movie that I just saw. But he's a good, you know, one of the newer, you know, getting more newly famous actors out there. He's pretty good too. But he doesn't get as much screen time as the others.
It's like Bill Simmons says on his, Bill Simmons has this rewatchables podcast where they talk about rewatchable movies, and they got the Dion Waiters award, where it's kind of like, hey, he got 12 minutes, but he scored 17 points and had 3 assists.
Right.
So he's like, that's Baby Billy right there.
That is Baby Billy. And you gotta really listen and you catch some things. You know what I mean? That kind of get glossed over in the scene, and he's pretty hilarious.
My wife caught me here a little while back. She goes, "What are you saying?" Because I was talking to her, and every time I'd say something at the end, I'd put "nah" on the end of it. I was like, "Hey, we got to get in the car, nah. Come on, nah. We got to, you know." And I kept throwing it in there like, "Baby,
where's she from? She's like,
what are you doing to me? Why are you saying this?
Where's she from? Because it's kind of standard down south."
I don't know with everything though, but I was putting it on tagging everything with it. But yeah, I mean, I'm from deep south Georgia. She went to McEachern, so she's, you know, she's in Atlanta, and she's a metro Atlanta gal. So
they're not quite as country as we get down there.
But not quite that much. Yeah,
but once you get below McDonough, it gets kind of
well.
It starts getting real country.
I'll tell you what, when you get above Canton, it starts up here too as well. So you can't. Yeah, it works yeah, both ways.
True. That is true. That is true.
It starts to get to the fringes.
It's a little different kind of country. Now, George, now you're doing the 100 Sanford podcast. We love those guys, man. Some great dudes over there. I know you're still tuned in with the program very heavily and watching all this. I mean, how satisfying is it for you as a guy who played a role in building this program and seeing how far it's come to see where it is now, man? I mean, what was it like for you to see Georgia, you know, get over that hump year before last?
Man, it was amazing to see, man. There's a lot of people. You know, it was 40 years, you know, it was over 40 years. And like, there's a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Not to be a downer, like my little brother was a huge dog fan. And I don't know if it started with me or before me, but like definitely, you know, he looked up to me, looked up to the dog, loved him. He passed away in 18. I wish he could have saw it. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of people that didn't get a chance to see that, and for me to be able to see, and I actually went to both of them. I went to the first one, and I went back to back, and was able to be there to witness them both in person. It's hard to explain. It was just amazing, really amazing. Because, and I feel like you said, we kind of got the ball rolling with our first ACC championship in when was that? That was like in 20 years when we won it my senior year. That was the first ACC championship in 20 years, and then it kind of got the ball rolling. They start building stuff and spending money and all kind of stuff that we didn't get. But I'm glad to be a part of that. Just having at least won the conference before I got out of there, that makes me kind of feel like part of this, you know, resurgence of the program. And then also having played with Kirby, actually, you know, it's kind of just cool to have that connection, is to see how he's progressed from being like checking our room for curfew to being the best coach in the game right now.
Yeah. So I remember, I guess it was, what was it? 2000. It was maybe 2000, maybe 99, but I think it was 2000. You know, you had been playing, and y'all been playing a lot of offensive linemen at Georgia. I think y'all played, y'all had like, Coach Donovan was playing like seven of you guys. And I remember finally he just kind of settled on you and Ajax, kind of there on one side. I believe it was against Ole Miss. And, you know,
this sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and y'all held it down, and I think Moussa Smith ran for like 148 or 168 or something that day. And from that day on, I was kind of like, you know, I remember watching that and just kind of being like, hey, man, those are what NFL offensive linemen look like. I mean, Ajax didn't get a really good – Alex Jackson didn't really get a good, you know, swing at it, but you did. At what point did you realize in your college career that were you like, hey, you know, I mean, you played with a good one. You played with John Stenscombe, and he had a really good NFL career. Y'all had two NFL tackles there. At what point did you realize – man, I'm a blue chip NFL prospect, and I'm going to be able to play this game for a long time, because you were still relatively new to it at that point, right? I mean, you haven't been one of these kids played ball all your life.
And I didn't have a ton of starts at Georgia. I played, you know, but we rotated a lot with me, Kareem Marshall, and John Stinchcomb. I had to play behind, you know, when we first got there. There was Chris Terry and Matt Stinchcomb. And then you had Jonas Jennings, and you had, you know, we had some pretty good players on that line. And then we were able to get Alex Jackson and play guard, Kevin Breedlove, Ian Knight, you know. And we just worked until it was our time. And so I didn't, you know, it wasn't these grand dreams of playing in the NFL. It was putting the work in step by step and just seeing what happens. And for me, just the size and athleticism, you know, put me on the map, along with, you know, I feel like I played hard, and I didn't really understand how the process went, or knew that I would be a top prospect till maybe going into my junior year, maybe. Or no. After my junior year, the summer after my junior year, that's when, you know, the agents started calling and all that stuff. And then they give you these lists, and they get the Blesto reports and the national reports. These are later on when I started my scouting career. I kind of learned out what those actually are, you know, but that's what they would show me back then. It was like, I'm rated what? Whoa, I ain't know anybody was looking at me like that. You know what I mean? So I was rated, like, depending on what list you looked at, one of the top three tackles in the country. And I had no idea. And so, but, you know, that didn't change anything. Worked hard, ended up having wrist surgery. Didn't get to play till we went to Alabama my senior year.
Man enough game.
Yeah, man enough. That was my first game back. And, got to play then. And just took it from there. I took it from there. I never took anything for granted. You know, it was hard to start that season off on the sideline. I can't even lie. I ain't too many people this. I was crying when they ran out versus Clemson, man. I was like, man, I had never played Clemson before. You know what I mean? I grew up, you know, I have cable growing up. We watched Jefferson Pilot. And so Clemson would be on there, Georgia Tech, Virginia, a lot of ACC ball, and some SEC. But that's what I was watching. I grew up watching Clemson, and because that's what was on TV sometimes. And it would have been cool to play against them. You know what I mean? And I didn't get to, you know, because I was still, you know, in a cast. And man, that hurt. But I was glad I eventually made it back that season.
Now, draft night. Well, no, sorry. It was not draft night. You were drafted back in the old days when they did all seven rounds in one day, basically, right? It's not what even that
two
long
days,
ago.
Two days.
Maybe they did it two
they
days.
They did 2 days.
I do. I do remember.
But they did like.
Like the first three or four rounds in one day.
Yeah, like four rounds. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was draft afternoon, I guess. It was a little different than it is now. It's not all the glitz and the glamour. Where did you do that at, and when did you know the Broncos were going to take you? What was the 21st overall?
20th overall, and I didn't know.
20th overall, okay.
Yeah, I had no idea, I guess. But I guess because I probably didn't know how it worked behind the scenes. And it's funny, I got to eventually know how it worked behind the scenes when I worked in the NFL. Like I took all my visits. I visited the Rams, I visited the 49ers, I visited the Ravens. But on the way back from the 49ers, I got a call from my agent. It was like, Denver wants you to stop by on your way back. You know, and so that's what I did, and talked to them, didn't get any inkling that they were being serious about me or whatever. And so that day comes, draft day comes. I think I've written about it before in like a blog post, and I posted it online what that draft day was like. You know, I stayed, you know, a lot of the guys stayed in Athens the night before, hung out, kicked it, did that, woke up early, draft day morning, got dressed. And funny enough, I put on a Denver Marcus Camby throwback jersey.
Wow.
And some jorts, because jorts were cool back then. They're back. I got some jorts now, but for a while they weren't cool, and I didn't get the memo, but we're back. But yeah, I had on a Denver Nuggets Marcus Camby jersey. And I hit that back road to Macon, and had family and friends. We cooked out at my mom's house and just hung out and had a good family time. And, you know, I was blessed enough to not have to wait too long, you know, to get my name called, and then we could kick it off and finish the shindig. You know, yeah. So that was pretty cool. Like I said, I didn't have any idea. I think Mike Shanahan called my agent, and I talked to them, and that was that.
I'm curious, you know, you mentioned earlier in the show that Tony Gilbert was a guy you roomed with, and how natural of a football player he was. You played the game for a long time, man. Who was the most talented dude you ever saw? Maybe not like from a statistical standpoint, maybe not from the accolades and the MVPs, but just like, who's the greatest football player George Foster has ever watched?
The greatest football player I've ever watched. That is tough. he talked to a guy that went to Georgia and played in the SEC.
Yeah.
And then the NFL.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
That's a lot. I have to name a few, man. Tony was definitely one of them, you know. Gang of tackles. Not too many people did better than he did at Georgia. Had a good chance to play in the NFL. Who else was really good? Michael Strahan. Been playing against him. He was very tough. My high school quarterback was like 5'6". 140 pounds. He started at linebacker and quarterback for us, probably led us in tackles as well as, of course, passing, and probably was, you know, a gang of rushing yards. He was probably one of the toughest, best football players I've ever been around. His name Joe Stubbs, coached for a long time. He's probably still, I think he went to Iowa Wesleyan and ended up coaching up there for a long time. And I think he's coaching in Dublin now. But, man, it's just there's a lot, man. I played with, you know, Trevor Price, Clinton Portis. I played with DJ Williams, Al Wilson.
Champ, baby, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Champ Bailey played with Calvin Johnson. Like, Calvin Johnson, we drafted Calvin Johnson, and we were like, who is that defensive end lined up that receiver? What is going on right here?
Oh,
he
man.
Was huge. And I don't know, somebody – I don't remember doing it, but somebody – I believe Tatum Bell told me one day that I called him Megatron, but I don't recall it. I'll never take credit for that. But he like said it on Twitter one day, and I was like, "Do I remember that? Did I didn't.
It wouldn't shock me. I'm going to tell you right now. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. I play with some really good guys, and especially at Georgia, man. I've counted it up one day. I think I may have played with at least, it seems like 60 guys that may have played at least a year in the NFL. Like, that's a lot.
You played college ball with at least two NFL Hall of Famers, didn't you?
I played with Champ. And I played with
Richard Seymour.
And I didn't get a chance to go to Champ's induction, but I went to Richard's last year. We had a ball. He knows how to put on. He knows how to put it on. We had a ball. You know what I'm saying? He had his whole family up there, kids. Chris Berman came through. That's something to experience if you can get, you know, access to at least the induction, the thing at the stadium the night before, and like then the parties afterwards. It's a good experience. I didn't know what to expect, but it was very fun. Richard knows how to put on a party.
We might have to call George Foster for access. I don't think Jake Rowe and I have the kind of connections to be honest with you.
You never know, man. There's all kind of people there, man.
You are looking at a hillbilly and a redneck that do love a good party, though.
Really good time.
I wanted to ask you one other thing, George. It's game week. George is getting ready to get back at it. And like I said, want to rep 100 Sanford as well. You know, when you got what's your feeling on the season, man? What's your thoughts? What are you looking forward to seeing? How do you think it's going to go? I mean, are you three-peat or die kind of guy here? I mean, where's your head at with it?
Winning football is hard. Winning the football game, winning the single game is hard. I know it sounds kind of weird to say, put it in perspective, in pro football, there's been one undefeated team, period. The NFL is 100 and it's 100 something years old.
Yeah.
One undefeated team.
Yeah.
In 100 years. That's how hard football is. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying three-peat or bust. Do I think they have what it takes? And should they three-peat? You know, and I'm not saying no miracles have to happen, none of that. Based on roster experience, coaching, should they repeat? Should they three-peat? Absolutely. That's not how football always works, though.
Yeah.
You need luck. You need some luck. You need some luck involved. You need a few bounces to go your way. You need, you know, health, which, you know, we've had a few significant injuries lately. You know what I mean? We got some guys that are still out. They're probably going to be out that we probably don't have to use for UT Martin. But I hope that's because it's UT Martin and that we'll get them back, you know, sooner than later. It's at the point now with Georgia that, you know, there's no excuses. You know what I mean? They got everything they need. They got, you know, got quarterback running backs. They have an elite offensive line. They got, They got, you know, a lot of people back from a defense that was, you know, that's picked up where the previous one left off. And the previous one left off had a gang of first rounders, you know, a team that had 16 people drafted, the most ever in the history of the game. And that defense, you know, came back and still, you know, statistically stacked up to the year before. They just did it, and they did it a different way. And so, and they have a lot of those guys coming back from last year, from a team that played a lot of youngsters. You know, a lot of young guys got snaps, and they're going to be even better than they were last year. So I think they have what it takes to win. They just have to keep everybody, you know, safe and sound. You know what I mean? We had Stetson healthy for 2 years. You know, a lot of people don't get to have their quarterback for every single game. You know what I mean? Even Bryce Young missed sometime, at least a game, or at least the A&M game last year. I don't know if he missed any more. But, like, we have to have some balls bounce our way. But, you know, roster-wise, they shouldn't lose a game at all. it really depends on what the competition gives them, though. You know, we gotta see, like, who's bad, like, who's rough and tough. Is it, you know, is Florida gonna stand up to them? Is Auburn gonna stand up to them? Is Bama is in the next level of the playoffs? Is Michigan gonna turn it on if they make it that far? Can Ohio State come back and get it back in the thick of things with a new quarterback? So, you know, it remains to be seen. A lot of football. That's why you have to play the game. But they got what it takes.
Well, normally we ask people the same question. I'm going to skip my question because I got a special one for you. I grew up a Broncos fan. It's a weird story. I had a redneck satellite dish. And the affiliates we picked up, Fox, CBS, all that stuff, we picked up Denver. So I started liking them back when Terrell was, you know, first started, Terrell Davis. You know, even before that, whenever, you know, Elway and the drive and all that stuff. But when you were drafted by the Broncos, you got 1 year under, you know, the late Alex Gibbs, who has some history at Georgia, you know, coached at Georgia 1982, 1983. Big-time reputation that man has. Is he as crazy as everybody says he is? Do you have any good Alex Gibbs stories?
Alex was crazy. Alex was definitely crazy. You know what I mean? But crazy never scared me. You know what I mean? So it was fine. You know, they used to pick at me and said Alex really liked me. You know what I'm saying? But I felt like he cussed. Yeah, just as much as he cussed anybody else out. You know, Alex had a reputation. Like, he knew how to get you to do that scheme, that zone scheme, running scheme. And he would come in, I came in on, like, when he was paring back his involvement. He would come do the run install, the offense install at the beginning of the week, and in the middle of the week he would be gone, and like Coach Dennison would take over and coach us from on the day to day, and then he would come back for the weekend for the games, and but yes, he was definitely crazy. He would have these little home remedies, and he would be bragging if you had something, an ailment. I remember I had something going on with me. I eventually tell you what it was, but my head, the front of my head was like beaten, and like around here, just in my cheeks, just beaten. Like, it would never go away. It was like it was like during camp, and we could not figure out what it was, and so he would be like, I'm bringing my Indian shit. You know what I'm saying? He comes in, he has this bag with leaves and like leaves and ointments and like bark and all kind of stuff. And he sat me in my locker, and then he put his hand in his little bag and he's wiping it on my face and, you know, trying to get me back out there ready. It didn't work. I kind of eventually figured out that, okay, I had chipped the tooth a while back and just didn't do anything about it, and end up needing a root canal. So that's why my whole face is. And I was like, oh, I could have figured this out pretty quick. As soon as I got a root canal, all the pain disappeared. And then I wouldn't have to have roots and leaves on my face and stuff. But yeah, that was the good people. Rest in peace.
All right, George, my question is the same for everybody. And I'm glad you said earlier.
Can I back up a little bit?
Yeah.
Don't feel weird about liking the Broncos. You know who my favorite team was growing up? I cheered for the Falcons because they were my own team. That's what I knew.
Right. Yeah, I did the same thing.
My favorite team was the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
My favorite team until was I got it,
was
drafted.
It because of them, was it those four straight Super Bowls? Or
yes, I was a youngster. I was getting into football. You know, that K-Gun was exciting. You know, Bruce Smith was my favorite player because he was just he was just badass. You know, Thurman Thomas, bad. You know, yeah, Darryl Tally, Cornelius Bennett. Like, I get a kid, like, me and Cornelius Bennett follow each other on Twitter, and it's like, I'm like a super fan. Like, it's like, geek, and like, it's like, man, it's like, and I got a chance to meet, Coach Rick brought, you know, him and Jim played together in Miami. He brought him to practice one time. I was starstruck. I ended up getting to meet him again at the Super Bowl one year. Like, it was, that was my squad until I got drafted. And it's just because, like, when you're a kid, you like who's good.
Yeah.
You like who's good. And
I pulled for them in all four of them Super Bowls, man. All four of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially and against like, Cowboys.
And people that knew me, that was my team, I caught hell at school.
I was going to say, I wish it worked for me. Like, it was just who was good. I still picked the Falcons. I don't know why. But it was like I got into it really heavy with With Vic, when Vic was so incredible to watch.
Well,
like,
see, Vic is this my age, you know what I'm saying? So I was like into the Falcons with Ward Dunn, Craig Hayward, back when who else was in the backfield? Of course, you had Deion, Tim McKeyer, you know, Mike Ken at tackle, yeah, Jesse Tuggle. Jamie Dukes,
Jamal.
You had Jamal, you know, like I was a fan of them, but like, man, those Buffalo Bills teams were just awesome.
All right. So my question for you, George Foster, you've said you traveled all over the country. You played football in many different places as well. You're a well-traveled guy. So I'll ask you the question that I ask everybody. What is the worst hotel room that George Foster has ever stayed in his life?
For one, I'm not a hotel snob. So there have been a lot of seedy places. But just give me somewhere to lay down. You know, I ain't going to be in there long anyway. You know, I'm going to be kicking it. So I'm not in the hotel. But let's make this NFL edition.
Okay.
Whatever the hotel you stay in, because teams typically stay in the same hotel, every team, when they go to these away cities. It's got to be somewhere like Green Bay. You stay in an Appleton, old hotel, old beds, you know. I mix it up kind of with maybe Buffalo, with the like that these beds that they're like first generation trying to be Sleep Number, like you couldn't blow it up. It's like hard and like terrible. But yeah, Appleton is not the spot. Typically, you land in a city, you you get out for a little while, you know, walk, go around, get some nice food and go to a nice restaurant and all that stuff. You know, Appleton ain't it, you know. No disrespect, Packers fans. You know, we're the real G anyway, but yeah, it's probably somewhere in Appleton, outside of these country towns that I've stayed in with. You got the real key.
You got the motel on the outside.
I'm from the era of the real key. Ain't no key cards.
Slide that thing in the door. It's got a little triangle on it to make sure you don't lose it.
Yes, they got the little diamond keychain hooked up to it. Yeah, you never lose those keys.
Little thing you break in half and cut somebody's throat with it, probably. You know, made out of some stiff plastic. George, man, thank you so much for coming on. Roos and I have been talking about trying to get you on for a long time just because you're so entertaining.
I'm glad we got it done.
Yeah, for sure, man. And if we can ever return the favor, tell us a little bit about your podcast before you head out.
Well, I got asked to join Lamar Lovelace, you know, Trigger Trey, Graham Coffee, to come on and do the show. I did the show as a guest before, I think the year before last year. So that would be 2021 or 2020. 2021 did the show. And then they asked me to come on as a host, and I just decided, sure, you know what I mean? Something to do, something to get my, you know, get my chops down. I've been asked over the years, over the last decade or so, when podcasts really started popping, you should do a podcast. Like my DMs, my phone calls, my texts. You ever thought about a podcast? Like, still, even today, I've gotten a call within the last 2 days. Like, you should do XYZ. Have you ever thought about a podcast? I'm like, yeah, I do one now. You know, but I think I want to. I got something that people should definitely hold me accountable and push me to do these things that I have in my head. But I have something that I want to do. Outside of 100 Sanford, that has to do with offensive linemen. You know, I love the position. You know, it's my, you know, that's my heart. O-line play. Don't nothing get done without O-line play. If you got a bad offensive line, you got a bad team, it's tried and true. You know, it doesn't get no better than offensive line play. And it's, you know, it's a sweet science. I love offensive line playing, offensive linemen. Think they're some of the best, coolest people on your team and in the world. Great, great, great men, you know, have played on that side of the ball in that position. And so I want to highlight those guys. And so when I put it in motion, I'll come back and talk about it. You know what I mean? But I need to do that. I've written the outline for it few years ago and didn't do anything with it. So if you're out there, if you're listening to this, you know, bully me.
I would love to encourage you to do that. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It's a lot of guys y'all need to hear from, you know, that played this game at a very high level and that I love to talk to.
No, I love offensive linemen, man. They are a unique breed, dude. They are fun to interview. They're fun to talk to. They are. They're cool guys. So
they're unique in and of themselves. But then they also play for crazy ass dudes over the years that also helped shape them. I've never met an offensive line coach that wasn't at least three shades of weird, man.
I'm trying to remember the most sane offensive line coach I had, and.
Did you play for Greg Abb?
Yes, I played for Coach Abb. Coach Abb was a tight end coach when I got there. And then when we had Pat Watson ended up passing during the season, and Coach Abb took over the room. So I had Abb. I don't know how I survived at Georgia. I had five O-line coaches.
I had a guy tell me one time that Greg Adkins may have been the most normal offensive line coach he ever had.
Yes.
Yeah.
He definitely is. He recruited me too. So I've had Coach Selfo, Coach Ed, Coach Watkins, Pat Watson, Coach Pat Watson, Doug Marone, and my guy from Macon, Georgia, Coach Callaway.
Yeah,
Neil Callaway. Yeah, five coaches in my at Georgia in college. You know,
unreal.
But, yeah, so but we made it happen. We made it happen. But you're right; well, they're weird.
Yeah, they are. They're strange cats, man. And we appreciate you coming on. If there's anything we can do to help you out, get that podcast going or anything like that, you know, let us know. We'd love to, you know, help you out in any way possible we can, because I'd love it. I think it's a great idea. You're an entertaining dude, and we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, man. Thank y'all for having me. Good time. And anytime, man, holler at me. You know, when I got the time, I don't mind talking.
Rock all right, buddy. Take care, man.
All right now.
I think he Love baby billied you on the way out. I think he baby billied you on the way out.
Hey now. Tell these folks about Bird Dogs. We got to get out of here.
Yeah. Bird Dogs, man. Listen, I wore them up to Minnesota, like I wear them everywhere else. And they kicked ass once again. You got to love the built-in liner, man. Look, I'm not too much information here. I'm not an underwear guy. This is just enough to keep you honest, realistically. But they fit great. They're sweat wicking. All the best things that you're looking for when it comes to a pair of shorts. That's what Bird Dogs bring to the table. So I recommend them highly. Like I say all the time, I would talk about them even if they didn't sponsor our podcast. We're lucky enough that they do. We appreciate them doing that. You can go over and use our promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, or birddogs.com/D-A-W-G-S, DAWGS. And right now, things have been going so well that they moved on. Now it's a hydro flask that they're offering with your order. So they'll kick in a hydro flask for you. It's a super
hydro nice flask. It's a hydro flask style water bottle.
Hydro flask style water bottle. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. For legal purposes. But it's a super nice water bottle. Go check it out. Everything we had the hat. We got the Yeti style tumbler. Both of those were super sick. So. Hydro flask style water bottle. Going to be nice as well. Go over there, check it out. birddogs.com/DAWGS or use our promo code DAWGS at checkout.
All right, Jake on Jake, Jake and off, whatever you want to call it. I got my question ready for you. It's pretty simple. So the Jake Roos I knew and came to love over the years did not like baseball. Had nothing to do with baseball. Now you've been to two baseball games in the span of a month. I would say you were a zero before then. What are you on a scale of 1 to 10 now when it comes to at least going to a live baseball game?
It's funny you mentioned that because I mentioned it on the way to the game the other day. I was like, I don't think I've been to a baseball game in like 20 years. And now I've been to like two in the last month. No, I got to tell you, man, like I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was a great time. I think what I like about baseball is that it's a lot more calm compared to football. You know, it's a lot more chilling out and drinking beer and eating snacks and talking shit and reading funny stuff up on the video board and watching the goofy stuff. I mean, the action's there and it's fun, especially, like I said, that game the other night was awesome. 12-2, you're getting home runs, you're getting almost fights, people are going crazy. Those Midwesterners were screaming obscenities at the umpires. So it was a great time, man. So I would say my interest has peaked. I would definitely go back again. I would say, 0 to 10. I don't know. I would say 7 to 8. If you offered me some tickets for tomorrow, I'd probably go. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know that I'm going to buy season tickets anytime soon, though.
Yeah, none of us are. I mean, that's a big commitment.
No. Unless you get them Delta Club tickets. Then give me a call, dog. I'm down to go whenever. Yeah. No problem. Let's go. All right. Mine for you, Jake. I was thinking about this tonight. I'm checking states off of the bucket list, trying to get – I'd like to go to all 50 states. I'd like to go to all 7 continents. That's my real big bucket list item. But I want to go to all 50 states while I'm at it, too. I figure I might as well see this great country. And I'm just curious, like, where's the next one you want to hit? What's a state you hadn't been to that you're trying to get to, and why?
Well, as the people, you know, down in South Georgia would say, I want to go to Hawaii. I think that'd be a fun place to go. You know, I mean,
you've already been there, to be honest with you.
No, I've never been to Hawaii. I've been to, I think I want to say 31 states or 32 of the 50. I haven't been to Hawaii. I haven't been to Alaska. I haven't been anywhere in the Pacific Northwest. If you're talking about, if you take Hawaii and Alaska out of the picture, I would probably say, you know, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming area. You know, it's funny you say that. A lot of people I've talked to, you know, a lot of people are like, and I believe Shannon Terry was one of the people that I talked to about this. But I could be mistaken on that. Wyoming and Montana, I'm like, man, I want to go to Bozeman and I want to go to Jackson Hole and I want to go to these places. And I've had multiple people tell me when I'm there, like, man, do not sleep on Eastern Idaho because
the pictures look sick, dude. The pictures are beautiful. Boise looks like a cool town. Somehow,
yeah.
I don't think I would have said that when I was a kid. I wouldn't have been like, I'd love to go to Boise, Idaho, but it looks like a nice place.
Well, I'm going to get the check off Utah in November. My family, we've become traveling Thanksgiving-ers over the years, my wife's family and I. And, you know, we've done Charleston for a long time. We did Asheville a couple years ago. We're going to make a little bit of bigger trip, and we're going to do Zion National Park, Springdale, Utah. So that'll be the first time I've been out that way, and I'm really excited about that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm saying I want to go to all 50 states, and I want to see it all at some point. I'm not as keen on the seven-continent idea, especially Antarctica or –
Well, that's obviously the hard one. I mean, like, I don't know how I'm going to make that one happen, but that's on the list. I think if you could just give me
Iceland and Australia, I would probably call it a day.
You can go to Iceland for cheap, dude.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
The Icelandic government subsidizes flights to make it cheap. Now, it's expensive when you get to Iceland, but it's cheap to get to Iceland. I definitely want to do that. I still got Australia, South America, and then obviously Antarctica. I'm hoping to somehow roll South America and Antarctica into one trip. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, just fly down to Chile and swim over to Antarctica. You're good to go. Yeah,
just a light paddle across the water, dude.
Just go straight to get you a little P-Row and go down there. All right, guys, this has been the longest ever Bark After Dark. I'm exhausted, and I'm going to go to bed right as soon as this is over with.
Thank you to George Foster for coming on. Yes, tremendous. 100%. As always, so gracious to be on with us. Hey, it's game week. I mean, it's hard to believe.
It's game week. And listen, get your friends and family to subscribe to Dogs HQ. We're almost to 10,000 followers here on YouTube. We're really excited about that. But we'll be back with you with the Georgia show with Wes Blankenship and two of us degenerates on Wednesday. Who knows who it'll be. And you probably shouldn't listen to us, but we'll try to make you. Y'all take care.